This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 185.
See, this is what happens when you try to wing it.
I got uncertain.
Every single time you're like, no, I got to ask him. I got to double check.
Yeah.
And this time you were like, no, I'm going to jump off the deep end. So you were vacillating there between 184 and 185.
Actually, between 185 and 186.
It's 186.
Okay.
See, I didn't hear an X or a S in there. I just heard a 185.
Okay.
It's 186. 186.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike. You have a spur, that thing, lint.
Yeah. Now it's been transposed to your house.
Yeah, it's on the ground. It's on the floor. I'm in the back of your hand. Is that a cat scratch?
No. I was doing some work outside the other day, and I don't know what happened. It could have been. We got some broken glass that, you know, I was taping up, so could have been something with that. I got one of my fingers, too, somewhere.
So... To as not be accused of not doing my fair share.
Again, let's be fair. Again.
I did, in fact, watch the CW shows. I didn't.
So I didn't have to? God damn it.
Hold on.
Okay.
I didn't go back and watch the previous episodes.
Okay.
Because fuck that.
Yeah.
And now I regret watching these episodes.
Really? Flash wasn't bad.
Okay, no, other than Flash. Okay, I'll say Flash was good, except, okay, hold on. We'll get there in a minute, but I'm just going to start with the fucking Barry and Iris go on vacation.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just take a vacation in the middle of a crisis that's coming in that's going to wipe out all life in the universe. But, you know...
Priorities.
That's right. We got to go take a honeymoon type thing.
I die. Yeah. All right, anyways, we'll go back to there. Batwoman... I don't care if
the story of Alice's origin.
Yeah, yeah. They caught up to, like you said, they were going to be catching up to...
Last week's episode, they caught up.
Yeah.
So this week was, oh, let's learn Alice's origin story while she drugs Kate, you know, by taking her to a place and insisting she drink a beer. And yeah. So, yeah. Alice was fished out of the river, and the guy wouldn't let her leave. And that guy plays a creepy guy in everything that he plays. And yeah,
yep.
The end.
Okay, good. Great.
Supergirl.
Supergirl. Lena's a bitch.
Yep.
Okay.
Love Phil LaMarr. I'm glad to see Phil LaMarr back on screen.
Okay, fair. Fair enough.
But, yeah, Leviathan, who cares? This is the first we've seen of them all season. Brainy having one funny line of, I'm not a supervillain, like, but most Brainiacs are.
Well, I will say this, the Leviathan comic book storyline that's currently ongoing, excellent.
Yeah.
Really is.
You mean the real life comic book story.
Yes, yeah. Yes. In the actual comic book, the Brian Michael Bendis, like, six episode storyline he's doing.
Pretty much, very say good. Brian Michael Bendis, and it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's be excellent. Honest. But, right. That's good. Too bad that wasn't trickling over into this. But, you know, at least this week we got to find out, like, five different times the exact make and model of bike helmet that Alex wanted for their dataversary. Small and matte black.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to jump to Arrow.
Oh, wait, were you surprised at all that the Doc Ock guy, who was really not Doc Ock, but was called like Flim Flam or Foopy Poo or, you know, some kind of Rick and Morty word. What was the missing guy who was presumed dead?
That caught me by surprise.
Really?
I didn't see it coming. It was completely unexpected and not stereotypical at all.
And in other news, Mike has been diagnosed with a TBI. God, he's like, he killed my roommate. I'm like, nope, never mind. I know where this is going.
Yeah.
So Arrow.
Fuck it.
If there's any way that they can redeem this show, it's by keeping these kids in the present and undoing the trashy future that they've got coming.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Remember, we're getting a backdoor pilot, the Canaries.
Yes. From this.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's in the future with those Canaries, because they mentioned it like 3 or 4 times in this one. Oh, starting up the Canaries thing might be a good idea. So is this where it's going to be? Like, are the kids now stuck in this present forever? And they're going to, like, redeem JJ and make sure that he never grows up bad? And what if they come in contact with themselves, like a time cop where they're going to explode? Or
haven't we seen the parenting your future child bit already on The Flash?
Yeah.
I mean.
And then she was wiped out of existence.
Okay. Also. Right. The monitor going to Laurel and being like, ew, if you turn on Oliver, I'll restore Earth too.
Okay.
Oh, couldn't he just do it? Then this would not be an Infinity Crisis event.
Right.
Or Crisis on Infinity Earth, or however you want to fucking call it. This wouldn't be a crisis event if he could just undo it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's the anti-monitor fucking with her.
Probably.
Because he's like, I can undo that and bring your entire universe back to existence. All you must do is betray Oliver Queen. Lightning crashing in the background. Thunder rumbling.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My laugh's about as much garbage as this fucking... okay.
Hey, good news for you.
What's that?
They're off this week.
Yeah, I see that.
I thought it was going to be like the Thanksgiving week, like a lot of shows would be off.
No, they're on during Thanksgiving week. Yeah.
Everything's on during Thanksgiving week. I was looking forward to having a week off and, like, laying low. Nope. Every show is still going. Anyway, so Flash. Who did the actress that played Gypsy, who did she piss off that she got killed off screen?
I don't know, but that's weak sauce, right?
Very weak sauce.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they got Danny Trejo to show up and be all emotional and be like, my daughter's dead. They killed her.
Yeah, that seemed... I mean, is she even doing anything now?
I don't know. You find out for us, and I'll say that, yeah, they basically wrote Barry and Iris out for this episode. I wonder if this is the episode that Grant Gustin was directing. But basically, yeah, they wrote them out so that we could have an episode without The Flash. And it was all about Cisco. And, oh, maybe he didn't suppress his powers, and he's having, you know, vibrational psychosis or something like that. But, no, he's not really. He's just, you know, another version of him from an evil alternate universe hacked his white noise machine to make him sleepwalk.
It says here she's in Watchmen, but she's Pirate Jenny, so I don't
know. Oh, I just watched that episode.
Yeah.
It was a bit part.
Okay, so.
Like somebody walked up and said, who are you? And she's like, I'm Pirate Jenny. And he's like, I'm Red Menace. And she's like, okay, well, I'm the FBI, and sir, are your civil rights being trampled upon? And he's like, yes, ma'am, they are. She goes, great. Yeah, I don't really fucking care. Anyway, I just wanted to talk to you two. Huh. Yeah, but still, those two shows were not taping at the same time, so she could have done both.
Well, don't you think it would have been better if the fact that Cisco's doppelganger killed her, that if we've gotten to see her be sad that her boyfriend killed her?
Yeah.
Would make sense?
Yeah.
We didn't even get hearing that. About it.
Yeah.
Like,
we got a behind-the-head shot of her down on the ground going, oh, so we didn't even get a face.
Yeah, so we got a stand-in.
Yeah.
We got a body double.
Which there were a lot of body doubles.
We got a fake Shemp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of those this week with Ramon fighting Ramon.
Grant Gustin did not direct this one.
All right.
He's not listed as directing any of them. Daniel Panabaker directs this week. Oh, sorry. Next week's episode.
Oh, okay.
I love this. November 26th, the title is called The Last Temptation of Barry Allen, Part 1. Episode 8 is called To Be Announced.
Really? Somebody didn't want to go out on a limb there and just be like, I'm going to take a stab here. Couldn't they have called it, like, The First Temptation of Barry Allen? And maybe. Then the second one be The Last Temptation of Barry Allen? man, the Legends needs to come back. This crossover event needs to happen. Yeah. And life needs to move on.
We're like 4 weeks away from the crossover. When the crossover's over, I don't know if I'm going to keep watching some of these shows.
I know. It's getting difficult. It's getting painful to watch some of these shows with how repetitive and cheesy and capable. Supergirl's the worst right now.
I mean, it is.
It's really bad. Even with Jimmy being gone. I was thinking that with Jimmy being gone, it might, you know, smarten up a little bit, but no. No, it's not. I don't know. I will say this, though.
Yes.
In the comic front, Watchmen is getting really dark and twisted.
So I did watch the first episode.
Okay.
I found a way to watch the first episode without downloading it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I did enjoy it. It was different.
Mm.
I get what you mean by about the politics of it and the alternate history type thing.
Yep.
And I enjoyed all of that. It's
okay.
Not your typical politics. It's different.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the first episode.
I mean, racism is a huge thing in this show.
I mean, like when the guy is trying to get permission to pull his gun out, like that was uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, I bet.
Because, you know,
yeah,
being involved with law enforcement.
Imagine if it worked that way for dispatch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that you were like, hold on, I'm buzzing your gun. But why would you have that kind of authority?
Right.
You're not out there in the field. You don't get to make that call.
And then when he makes the announcement of like, when the chief makes the announcement that like, oh, everyone's going to be authorized to use their guns for 48 hours or something like that. And the guns master, whatever, comes like, oh, that's a good idea.
I love that he's Panda and he literally has a giant stuffed panda head on.
Yeah. Okay. The show's weird.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But yeah. I actually did enjoy the first episode.
Good.
I'd like to go back and watch more. I don't know if I'm going to be able to because I only had time to watch all kinds of shit because I had these 3 days off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Dude, I was scrambling up until the last minute here.
Yeah, and I actually, Mr. Robot, obviously.
Had to watch that.
So last night, I'm sitting there, and it's 20 minutes of 9, and I went, oh, Mr. Robot was on 8 o'clock tonight. And I forgot. I remember saying, you know, next week at a special time. And I completely forgot. They had it on at 11, but by then I was like, ah, I'll just wait. So I watched it today.
Okay.
It was almost better because I had my headphones on. I was watching on my laptop so I could ultra focus on it and really hear everything.
And did you have commercials?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the only downside. But I'd have commercials if I watched it on Sunday night.
Right. Well, that was what I was thinking.
I really just enjoy watching it Sunday night live and then going to bed after going.
Yeah. Well, when you sent me that message, you know, at like 10 o'clock and you're like, Mr. Robo is on at 8. I'm like,
no, I sent it to you at 20 minutes to 9.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, fuck. Well, my DVR still recorded it, but I was like, well, if Mike's going to watch it live at 11, I'll watch it live at 11 to make sure. And
right.
Then I didn't hear from you. I'm like, he went to bed. I'll bet you he did.
I didn't go to bed till like after midnight.
Oh, nice.
I got a copy of AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view from Saturday night, so I was watching that.
Gotcha.
I got one more match to watch. So, anywho.
And I'll say that for me, this week Death Stranding came out, which is Hideo Kojima's most recent game. He did all the Metal Gear games.
Oh.
This is the one that you probably see the commercials for, if you saw commercials. It's got Norman Reedus.
Yes, and, I did.
Oh my God, Mads Mikkelsen.
How much you been playing that?
According to the in-game timer, a gross amount. I think before I came over here, I was almost to 41 hours. Yeah. Yeah. My buddy John from work, we're both like huge Hideo Kojima fans. And so we're texting each other back and forth on the build up to it. And he's like, we're talking. He's like, I've got a 3-day weekend right after work on Friday. I'm going to get my coffee. I'm buying my snacks. I'm going to do all my chores. And then I'm just sitting for the rest of the weekend. So like we were comparing play times at one point. And he's like, how much you up to? I was like, 20 hours. I'm a piece of shit. And he's like, 15 hours. I am too. Like, yep.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad last weekend we did all the leaves and raked them up and hauled them away and everything like that because, well, A, we have 2 inches of snow on the ground today.
Yeah.
But it was cold all weekend.
It was.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so we got the bad stuff out of the way.
I'm going to delete this show because I don't watch it anymore.
Which one?
Haro, H-A-R-O-W.
Oh.
It's something I started watching. It has the guy from...
Haro.
No, not Sanji.
No,
that's another thing the wife and I have been watching. Is How I Met Your Mother, and we're getting close to the final episode.
Ranjit.
You know. Ranjit, yeah. Did not watch Emergence this week yet. Wife doesn't like to watch it in front of the son. She thinks it's too adult for him. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
So we haven't watched that yet.
Okay.
But I have, man, I did watch everything else. So The Good Doctor, I don't even know if I care to talk about it.
My one note on it was Sean kicked a nurse out of the OR for not holding the clamps right.
For not passing it to him correctly, even worse.
Yeah.
She didn't hand it to him in the 45-degree angle he wanted to hand it to him for, so he didn't have to turn his wrist. That pissed me off.
Oh, it pissed me off, too. Like the fact that he wouldn't tell her.
Yeah.
He was like, you should know how it's supposed to be perfectly done. And she's like, Well, I don't. I'm just handing them to you. And he kicked her out. He's like, get out.
And then he won't apologize. He wants to explain to her why she was wrong so then he doesn't have to apologize. Maybe this is all real or whatever.
No, it pissed me off, too.
It was
really annoyed me.
Okay, good.
You know, I've been on Team Sean for a while now.
Yeah.
Even when he pitched that fit in the ER,
yeah.
I was like, I can't do this. You know, I was like, all right, I kind of get it. You know, I was trying to defend him last week, but this was just unforgivable.
I don't know anyone who has autism the level of Sean does or, you know, really. And so I don't know how they would actually act and be. But when the show started, he had that one guy that was fighting for him and everyone else got proven that Sean was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of like tolerated him, if you will, because he was brilliant. Well, now, like, there's so much hand-holding going on and coddling, it's excessive.
You know, when you think about House, okay, House MD.
Yeah.
House didn't go down and perform the surgeries. He stood above and watched.
Exactly.
He was a diagnostician, right. Which is what they said Sean should be. And he's like, yes. I want to be a surgeon.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't be.
Right.
He's a Thermian.
Right.
But he should be a diagnostician.
Yeah.
But then they're probably afraid that it would be too much like House, and I don't know.
No, I can see the similarities, you know, in the show.
Oh, yeah. But so what about New Hamsterdam?
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Basically, Max's hallucinations are still going strong. He doesn't want anybody in his house, you know. He says, I don't want strangers. So by the end of the episode, all the team or, you know, the most highly paid actors from the show show up at his door to, you know, help him out. There's about a million people in the hospital, but we get the highly paid actors. They don't do windows. The girl in the ER with the foot injury, she's basically told by the guy that she needs another surgery. And he's like, no, you better deal with it because you have to have pain pills. You will not be able to get through this without it. So you need to figure out how you're going to cope with it.
And here's the thing, for anyone that thinks that doesn't happen, I got a bad infection about a year and a half ago, and I didn't want to take pain pills initially, and I was told, because they made me hallucinate,
mm-hmm.
And they couldn't find the right ones. Well, after I'd had to have the infection cleared up, the nurse said, take your pain pills, do not miss a pill, do not miss a dose, you do not want this pain to come back, it will be unbearable, take these pain pills. So they do tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm not an addict, but I'm just saying, right. Like, she hyped very heavily, do not miss a dose.
Yes. Yep. And so basically she went and found that dick doctor that she's been screwing, and
yes.
She was like, I want you to be the guy who keeps me in line and keeps me from, you know,
right.
Going down that road again. He's like, she's like, I don't need a friend. I need a dick. And he's like, yeah, I know all the tricks. I know all the ways that you're going to try to get around it. And you're going to cry and you're going to do this. He goes, but I'm going to make your life a living hell.
And then at the end, like you said, they all showed up at the end to help him clean. And when he opens the door, he turns and looks and his dead wife's ghost like, it's okay to let people in.
Yeah. Yeah. Double meaning. We had the veteran with PTSD.
I enjoyed the play.
Yep, I did as well.
I enjoyed that. That was good. Yeah. I wasn't all pissed off at Frome this week.
No, I was actually I was like, kudos, you know? He gave them a way to act out, literally, their problems. And then we had the woman in the wheelchair who basically some surgeon who was working at New Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he severed her spinal cord, and then to cover it up and pretend that he didn't do it, he put a plate in her.
Yeah, he put the metal plate in there, so if anyone tried to do a scan, they wouldn't see what he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, to tell her, like, oh, without this, you won't be able to sit even.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Max basically told her the truth. She's like, why?
Yeah.
He's like, because you deserve to know. And he, you know, the head of the board there wants to settle with her. And he's like, no, I hope she sues us into oblivion so that we can stop the next one of these guys from coming along and getting away with it.
Yeah.
And then there was the leukemia. There were a lot of stories this week. There was the leukemia girl who her dad's out of the picture completely. She thinks he's like dead.
Dead or just not there. You know?
And basically they call him. He comes in, donates, and then leaves.
Yeah, and then when the surgeon there is like, too bad he couldn't be there for her, and she's like, well, he was.
Yeah.
He was here when it counted. He showed up. He, you know, he helped save her life, and he left again. So,
so that's why the surgeon is like, I think I'll
I want my daddy to be there.
Yeah.
I miss my daddy. Let's go to another direction.
All right.
American Horror Story, 1984.
God damn, I can't wait for the show to be over. Dude, this is just, it's ludicrous. It's just ludicrous at this point.
It really is. It's very over the top.
Please give us a rundown of this lucidity.
All right, so Bruce, the guy had his thumbs cut off. You know, he recovers.
Bill McDermott.
He gets himself patched up when the Amway lady rescues him. And
dude, he doesn't even wait for her to patch him up. As soon as she cuts him loose, he chokes her with her own scarf and throws her in the trunk of her own car, then uses the cigarette lighter to cauterize his thumbs.
And then wraps his hands and proceeds to drive because he's going to go to Camp Redwood to kill some bitches. Donna and Brooke get approached by the tabloid writer Stacy, who recognizes her and basically is like, hey, you're Donna, you're Brooke, you're actually alive, you must have faked your death. And so they're like, I'll tell you what, at Camp Redwood, this is what's going on. So she goes with them to Camp Redwood to
Okay, we're one episode away from the finale of this season, and they're introducing a new character now.
You mean Stacy?
Yeah.
She's dead, though.
Well, she's dead, but nobody stays dead, because when you get murdered there, you come back.
But they killed her in the episode, so.
And they killed her in the camp.
Yeah, they brought her to the camp, and then Brooke was going to kill her, so they couldn't unveil her plan, and Donna couldn't stand by to let Brooke kill her, so they fought, and Stacy got away, and then she ran into
the new super friends, Richie and Dylan McDermott.
Richie and Bruce, yeah.
And what's her name there? The one who runs the camp.
Yep.
Who's now come up with the most brilliant idea in the world, because, you know, like, you've got Graceland and you've got the birthplace of Bob Dylan. So what she wants to do is invite every rock star to this camp and then murder them all.
Yes.
So that this place becomes so famous because everyone will want to come see where all these rock stars were murdered. Except Billy Idol.
They don't kill Billy Idol.
That's right.
And they all agree to that. Don't you love the way they all lovingly take turns stabbing Stacy and killing her?
Oh, and talk about it in between.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is going to be great for my numbers. I'm going to crank through some people here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Who came out of the water and grabbed Jingles when he was in the boat?
Oh, Jason Voorhees.
Well, that's what I thought.
It's his brother. His little brother that drowned. They got the propeller blade in the face.
So why is he now a grown man?
He's not.
He looked like a grown man. He was big enough to grab Jingles and drag him right out of the boat.
That was a child that came out of the water. You've had to have seen the original Friday the 13th. That's exactly how it ends.
Yeah.
The last thing you see is the final girl in the boat, and Jason comes out of the water and shot for shot everything. Jumps up out of the water, but he's supernatural.
And then they did the same thing in the final Friday the 13th remake.
Well, yeah, of course. But then, you know, Jingles there wakes up and mom seems to be happy now, and they're going to have sandwiches and
she's
be together. Got her boys together, you know, and
Oh, and, Long Duck Dong there, you know, big dick.
Oh yeah. Head. He's pounded Montana.
He's in love with Montana because, you know, she tells him, well, we can't have orgasms, but we can do everything else. We can feel happy and angry and afraid. And so he decides that he wants to kill himself there at the camp so that he'll come back at the camp and he can be with her forever as a ghost.
Yep. She doesn't want to kill him at first.
Nope.
Or she doesn't want to kill him, but.
Yeah. Dude, this season is fucking ridiculous. I mean, it's nowhere near as dark as the other seasons. It's more goofy than anything.
Yep.
But even that goofiness is dumb.
So we find out that the ghosts, though, even when they are ghosts and they're killed, they feel it. They feel pain from being killed. Then they just kind of die and then wake back up.
Yep.
And then, of course, we see that the band that sings Shy Shy, Hush Hush, IOI, they're
their
back.
Only hit.
Yeah, they're back. Yeah. They're alive again. Well, they're not alive again. Their ghosts are there. So.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's
and again, that's why she wants to murder all these rock stars there, right. Just because they'll be bound to that place forever.
Yep.
I burped.
Oh. Stump Town.
Stump Town.
I know I watched This Is Us this week, but I really just can't remember it.
It was the juxtaposition of the two different dinners.
Yes. Okay.
Young Randall and his teacher and teacher's wife came over to dinner at the Pearson's place.
Yes.
And then you have old Randall who is meeting Malik's parents, and they're all.
Yeah.
Both of which were very awkward dinners.
Oh, big time.
This was a very awkward episode.
Yeah, because you had young Randall looking up to his teacher as kind of like a father figure and Jack being jealous. So Jack's being an ass.
Yeah.
Of course, they work it out in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the teacher gives Jack a book and says, hey, Randall really likes this guy. I was going to give it to him. My wife told me to leave it in the car.
Yeah.
He really likes this guy. He reads all of his works. You should give it to him.
Well, not only that, but the teacher goes, look, you're his dad. You'll always be his dad. I'm just a blip on a radar in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to remember me, but he's always going to remember you. So I'm, you know, he basically like, I'm no competition for you. But the teacher enjoys having Randall because the teacher thought he'd be the only black person there at the school.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then in the present time,
yeah.
We've got Malik's parents coming over with Malik because Malik and Deja skipped school.
Yeah.
And it was a romantic thing, you know, yeah. Where Malik was like, oh, come see my Philly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you people know me and the best place to get a cheesesteak and all this stuff. And
that's not what weekends are for at all, you know.
Right, right.
Don't do that
yeah.
in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. To her credit, Deja was like, basically, I think you got game.
Yeah.
You know, you already impregnated one girl.
Yep.
Am I just another one? And he's like, I don't have game.
Yep.
I have no game whatsoever. You ever seen any football players that look like me? I got lucky with that girl.
Yeah.
So, but basically the Pearsons are like, let's have them over for dinner.
Yeah.
So that we can decide what we're going to do with these kids. And,
well, the dads seem to get along.
Well, they did. Yeah. The moms, not at all.
No, not at all. Cause, no. Malik's mom's like, well, I mean, she has a troubled background and basically her mother's trash. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So she must be
trash. That's not really your kid.
Yeah.
And then, so, of course.
And the church thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God, even though some of us don't worship you consistently. And yeah.
And then you have Beth who's just like, well, it must be hard raising your baby's baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The claws were out for both of them.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
And the guys were getting along, except for when Foreman decided to take off his shirt and, like, show off his tats. And he's like,
well,
I saw you eyeing my tats.
Yeah.
I earned all these. Yes, I grew up in that place, but I've made better of myself. So you can either look at me and see all my mistakes of the past, or you can see something new and something better coming out of it, Mr. Councilman.
Yeah.
I think at the end they all are getting
along
better.
Here's the thing. Yeah, because they decide they're going to let Deja date Malik, but it has to be supervised either at our house or at their house and this and that and everything. But it's like, you know, Randall and his wife, Beth, they've worked hard for what they have. Nothing's been given to them. And yet even in poor Randall, growing up as the only black kid in a white family, he gets a bunch of grief for that, for being different. And now being a successful black person living in a nice neighborhood because him and his wife worked hard to afford it. Get flack from other black people who don't know what it's like to be black. Randall's been told his whole life he doesn't know what it's like to be black.
Yeah.
It's got to be difficult, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, they even had that scene with him and Jack at the golf course last week where he's like, when I look at you, I don't see color. And he's like, then you don't see me.
Yeah.
I'm colored.
Yep.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that last week, or if we did, I completely forgot. But I liked how Randall played the other councilman not knowing how to golf. And then It shows that he knew how to golf because his dad taught him how to golf. You need to learn this.
And he basically told him, you know, Randall, there's a lot of times that you're going to be playing games with people and you're going to have a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
Some people you got to play down to, and some people you got to beat them. But either way, just keep playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
That was good.
Yeah.
Anywho. So, yeah, This Is Us was good. next week, I'm sure we'll get the repercussions of what's his face? Kevin and Cassidy, doing the bang, a bang, a bangity bang. I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. Again, I didn't watch Emergence. Did you? Was it good?
I did, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't really have a lot to say about it. You didn't watch it. It was another episode.
Is the show getting better?
A little bit. You got some fuzz right there. Nope, maybe not. Maybe it's a shadow. No, it was a shadow.
Ooh, sorry.
But it was just like one little spot, so it looked like you had like a clump of fur there. Rookie.
Oh, ballistic missile attack. Way better than I thought it was going to be based on that preview.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, honestly, when everybody started getting the text alerts and they were all going nuts and looking at their phones, I was like, oh, here we go. But it did work out better because, you know, they had some cool moments, like with the captain saying, if you've ever worn a badge, even if you've been retired for 10 years, get out on that street. We need help.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was cool. Nolan's new TO is freaking out about his daughter, about her daughter. Can't get a hold of the dad. Goes and picks the daughter up, brings her back to the police station in complete violation of the court paperwork and custody agreement and everything else.
Yeah.
But the safety of her daughter, I would assume, would come first. And she did try to call him, contact him several times.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, in the end, that worked out to her benefit, thanks to Nolan.
Well, thanks to Nolan, but also, you know, when the dad said, I want her arrested, he kind of could have.
Yeah.
You know, they legitimately had a reason to arrest her for violating a court order.
And the daughter was like, no, dad.
Yeah.
Mom promised she's not going to lie anymore.
Dad, don't be a dick. Yeah.
And then when Nolan comes to her aid, it's just like, look, she could have done anything she wanted. She definitely didn't need to come down here and teach me and da-da-da-da-da. So dad was like, go hug your mother goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like, I don't want to guess, you know, this isn't over, but it's over and this and that. But,
yep.
So that was a fine storyline.
Tim's really into this friend of Chen's, the girl that we thought he had like a one night stand with.
Yes.
Like,
they're dating.
They're dating.
Yeah.
Like officially, like she comes up and asks a favor. She's like, look, this wedding's coming up and she's going to be upset about it. I just want you to go easy. And he's like, she's my boo. She's not my friend. And she's like, for me, please. And he actually does.
And when he takes it easy on her, and then Chen's like, why are you being nice to me? Why am I driving?
You're driving today, booty. She's like, why?
Yeah.
What's going on? I never drive.
Why aren't you yelling at me and embarrassing me, teaching me some awkward lesson?
I think the coolest story, though, was the courtroom. Like, start to finish was the best. Because it started off with Nolan, like he had to go to court and they were all kind of razzing him about it.
Oh, God, yes, his first time going to court for something.
But again, I love this show and the little bits of research that they do. You know, when he's sitting in there and he's like, don't worry, I've read the case file over and over again. I got it all memorized. And he's like, Officer Bradshaw. And Tim's just like, what's your, when did you graduate the academy? Rookie, he's like, I think it was, he goes, no, we need the exact date and time. And then somebody, or his TO is like, what's the serial number on your gun? He goes, I don't know. She goes, you need to have that memorized.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They were all just like pulling all this stuff out. Yeah. He's like, how would I even know this stuff? They're like, that's what's going to happen to you in court.
Exactly. And then I like it when he goes to court and it's, what's her face? It's the boyfriend. Lawyer boyfriend. Wesley, thank you.
How did you forget that name? That's your son's name.
And he goes, hey, no hard feelings out there, right?
Yeah, he goes, just remember, nothing's personal.
Yeah, we're just doing our jobs.
Like, what do you mean? What?
He's like, oh, good, you'll take care of me. No, I won't.
Yeah,
I'm going to bury you.
And his girlfriend was there, and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, it's your first time in court. I wanted to be here to support you. Don't worry, mine was a disaster. Everyone keeps telling him that their first time was a disaster. And then later on, he's like, she goes, can I confess something? He goes, you already had an appointment here. She's like, you knew? And he's like, yeah, I still let you believe that, you know.
Yeah. So
because they kind of hadn't had her for a few episodes, so I was worried that they were going to, like, write her out and do the whole Allie Larder thing. But
they had the ballistic missile warning came in. Everyone's trying to seek shelter. One of them says something like, oh, you know, is there a basement here?
A bomb shelter.
And they're like, and the judge is like, no, there isn't. And then later on when Wesley's girlfriend's like, yeah, there's a shelter there.
Yeah.
And then they look at the judge is gone, the clerk is gone, and a few other people are gone. So, of course, they go down there and they find out, oh.
Yeah, they're about to seal up the door.
Yeah.
And the judge pulls a gun on Nolan.
Yeah.
He's like, you stay out of here. You know, there's only enough room for the and
if there's a thing, you know, the fallout, we don't have enough food to last and this and that. Yeah.
And Nolan does the quick snap, you know.
Yeah, I learned that at the academy.
Yeah. And then puts him under arrest. I love that.
Yeah, they arrested the judge.
Inside, you're under arrest.
And then they brought in all the prisoners.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, the people there in the courtroom, they're there because, well, like, one guy murdered their son. And, you know, so there's tensions. And then you have the guy that escaped, or everyone else did.
Yeah.
You know,
I always want to call him Shooter McGavin, but it's not. But he's similar to that.
Right.
You know, he always plays a scumbag.
So it was good.
Yeah.
They get the keys. There's a plot. They get Wesley gets stabbed, so they think he's going to die, but he doesn't die. You know, it's good. I like it when they open the door to the vault. They find out that it's a false alarm. They open the door to the vault, and Wesley's girlfriend and her boot is there.
Oh, Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she's kind of like making her way through everybody.
Banks?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy turns around, Banks' throat, like, thrusts him in the throat.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, West and Chen.
Yeah, West and Chen.
West and Diaz, they show up, and he turns around, he's like, hey. The guy turns around, he'll fluke. Yeah.
Palm strike to the throat. I like their story of trying to get everybody off the street. Oh, and then Chen and Bradford helping his friend.
Yes.
And he's like, you need to go home. But my story's like, and then Chen's like, you need to go to where people are, you know, to the people that are the most important to you or something like that.
Right.
So he goes, no wonder things are trouble at home if this is more important than your family.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And then her and Bradford share a drink. Well, if we're going to die, I'm going to have a drink at least.
And then she's like, I'm not a whiskey girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I liked, Diaz and West when they had to go talk the suicide people off the roof.
Yep.
That was excellent.
Yes.
So this is actually a really good episode.
It was. It was a lot better than I expected.
It was way better than last week's episode that annoyed the piss out of me with the CIs and everything.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Stumptown. So this was... Fiona X, who's Dex's ex-girlfriend, who I did not think was even slightly attractive.
No, me either.
Like, I don't know who she is, whatever, but I just didn't. Whatever. Okay, I don't get this part. Maybe you can explain it to me.
Sure.
Real quick. So Fiona X is this punk rocker, and she's back in town. Of course, everyone, she's famous, and Dex and her used to date years ago, and she left one on tour, and Dex didn't go with her, so of course she's being stalked by somebody, and she wants to hire Dex to solve who's stalking her, and as it turns out, this girl's tour manager, or publicist, whoever he is, manager, has actually been sending this guy letters on her behalf, without her knowing, encouraging his stalker behavior and attitude, because she writes better songs when she's under this pressure.
Yep.
So he... It's really fucked up.
He did it for her.
Yeah, yeah. He did it for himself in his own bucket.
Yes.
Of course, in the end, Hoffman figures it all out, and they arrest the manager, and they arrest the guy, and, you know, Fiona X is now safe, and Dex doesn't go off with her. Gray meets a girl named Liz, who's working, who does one of those, paranormal tours.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the most haunted barn. He's like, this bar's been open 2 months. Yes, but before you. And she's like, look, okay, it's not haunted. I know that. Well, you can't be just, I just brought you a boatload of people that are going to sit here and drink.
Exactly.
I think they're in a haunted bar. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Come on in. You know, like, and then they ended up dating. And Dex's brother is pissed off. I don't get that.
I think that what that is he... Okay, we all know he's mentally disabled.
Yes.
You know, he's not, but he considers Dex and Gray to be his, you know, family type.
Right.
So another woman in the mix means that Gray's not going to be with Dex.
Right.
You know, up until this point, he's only seen Gray and Dex as single people. And
right.
So I think that it's really bothering him and throwing him off because, you know, then maybe
he referred to them as mom and dad.
Right. You know, and his parents died, so he doesn't want to, like, if Gray starts dating this other woman, then he has to get used to this other woman, and then they might leave, and...
Okay. Yeah. All right, I get it now. I like how the Cosgrove, the lieutenant, and Tukey shows up and kind of under false pretenses, because his truck's going to get shut down, and so, of course...
Oh my god, that was great.
So they connected, because he made some sort of... Mole.
The best mole she had ever eaten.
Yeah, and he stopped making it, and he gave his reason why. They tried to say it was his, and so I walked away, and so he made it for her to say thank you, and then...
Mole is a savory, Mexican chocolate sauce.
Oh, okay.
It's not meant to be a dessert. It's meant to be like,
okay,
it's delicious.
So she had this, what, cheesesteak egg roll that she made or something like that. And she showed up and he's like, oh, this is delicious. You're just saying it. I don't mess about food. So he does something to it. And I love the little, the back and forth they have a little bit. She's like, you know, I'm a married woman. Well, that's fine. This is just about the food.
Yeah, he said, I'm married too.
Yeah. This is just, you know, platonic about the food.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I like how they gave us a fun little side story involving the two of them. And it also puts Cosgrove into Dex's world a little bit more, knowing another friend of hers,
right,
and being acquainted with him. But, like, there's no romance here.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but they got their food stuff.
I do like how they've changed her from her character from the first episode to this episode.
Yes.
Now, did this get picked up for a full season?
Yes.
Okay, good. I enjoyed it.
I do, too.
Pardon me.
Blacklist?
Yes.
The deep fakes guy? Because, you know, it's in the news now, so they got to...
And, of course, we had to see it done, like, three ways.
Yeah.
I'm a little annoyed with this episode.
Which part?
Fair enough. So the whole premise of the episode is, and I don't remember her name because whatever, I'm not good with them. But the, Francesca, that's the woman that was the nurse and helped him and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I enjoy how they've been establishing her as a character.
Mm-hmm.
So in this episode, she gets grabbed. She gets shown a video from, I don't want to say Breznikov, but that's not her. Rostova.
Yeah.
Basically saying, like, we found someone to turn on red. We want you to go pick him up and bring him in. You know, you betrayed me and I'm going to kill you, but maybe red's going to kill you. Who knows? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So she goes and gets the kid. And the kid, of course, at first is going to blow her off because, like, look, I'm serving up Raymond Reddington here. So she, by gunpoint, takes him to the meeting place. And then gets told, all right, here's a bunch of money. Call Reddington, tell him to get here because we're going to, you know, we're going to kill him.
Yep.
You know, and so she calls Red and comes in. And the whole time I'm just thinking, like, okay, this is a test. This is a test.
Yeah.
This is a test.
Yeah.
On the other side of things, we have this Agent Park, is it?
This was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird that the FBI was basically vetting her to work for Reddington.
To work on the task force to replace Samar.
Yeah.
But
as she said,
all accepted,
I'm working for him.
Right. And this is the first time that the whole task force has acknowledged, yes, we work for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like he works with us. We work for him.
And she had a massive problem with this.
Yeah.
Understandably so. You know, they kept bringing up how she went to Alaska.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's what happened in Anchorage. We heard about Anchorage a shit ton, but didn't talk about it.
Yeah. So they're basically testing out that character, and then we'll find out about Anchorage if she lasts.
And then she...
Aram doesn't like her.
Well, Aram,
she's a hacker.
Well, yeah, because Aram thinks that she's there to replace him, not Samar.
Right.
But, of course, by the end, he's like, but, you know, it's all good. I don't care about Aram's backstory banging some girl who's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, she's really, like, I don't know, man. I know he's a bit of a wallflower, and maybe this is good for him to get out, but this woman is just dangerous. And her husband's still alive. I mean, he's a vegetable, but he's still alive.
You don't break into someone's house and bang someone in someone else's bed.
Yeah, and then you don't pull out your FBI credentials and say, I'm FBI, I was arresting this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the, I mean, I don't even remember the backstory of this episode because there was so much going on.
It was the deepfake guy. It was the guy in the wheelchair.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, it started off with a guy making a video of himself with a bomb strapped, and then he's walking across the parking lot, and the police show up, see him holding a cell phone, and say, he's got a detonator, and they all open fire on him.
Which they wouldn't do if they thought he had a bomb.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Holy God.
But, yeah, it was AI went rogue.
Yep.
Rise of the Machines.
Yes, which was... Yeah. It would have been cool if this had been like Fringe or the X-Files, but it's Blacklist.
So it didn't work out. I think that was a throwaway story because the main story was they wanted Park to see Raymond. Well, Raymond, they wanted Park to kind of work with the task force, introduce her character, talk about this thing that happened in Anchorage, but don't talk about it.
Yep.
And then.
And she said, no, I'm not going to work with him.
Well,
I refuse.
She shows up to see Raymond and his. torturer, if you will, kill the guy.
Yeah.
Because of also the guy that had that rupture.
Which I still love that guy.
I do too.
Although he is slipping. This is the second time that things have gone wrong for him.
Yeah. I like how we wanted Denbei to help him stretch out.
Yeah.
Before we get this going. I got to be limber for this guy.
Exactly.
But yeah, so she's like, no. And then this is what I thought was so stupid. She tells Liz, call Raven and tell me where he is so I can go tell him myself.
Yeah.
Which to me, I'm like, oh, red flag.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, Reddington's telling Francesca, hey, someone's turning on me. I really want you on the task force so you can. So you think that Raymond's getting turned on by her. She wants. So again, I'm still of the belief that she's going to warn Red, hey, this is what's going on. And instead, the whole thing was a hoax by Reddington.
Yeah.
The video she watched, no, that was the deep fake.
Yep.
You know, and they
basically says, I was testing you, you failed.
Yeah.
Thanks, kid. And the kid's like, oh, no problem.
And he leaves, and then the other guy's there and is going to leave, and then Raymond's going to kill Francesca. And then Park shows up. And they have a Mexican standoff.
Yeah.
And then
her and Francesca go toe-to-toe. Oh,
she shoots Raymond in the arm, just a graze, as you can see, just winged him.
Yeah.
You know, just a flesh, not even a flesh wound, just literally grazed him. Yeah, and then her and Francesca have a, like, vicious, like, battle royale type fight. I mean from the old Japanese flick, battle royale is what I'm talking about, okay?
Nice.
Where they beat the piss out of each other. I mean, Park's got blood pouring out of her head, and, you know, like, just covering her face. Francesca's got the shit kicked out of her, and she's ready to stab her in the throat with a broken piece of glass, and Ramington's like, enough.
Yeah.
And Park gets up and she's like, I'm not working for you, and storms away. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
And then Reddington walks over to Francesca and says, yeah, well, you're not her problem, you're mine. And then just shoots her in the head.
Yeah. Again, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't think that her character was going to die.
No, not three episodes into her arc.
Do you think this is going to be the last season?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that they can come up with much more after this.
Yeah.
But then at the end, Park shows back up to say, you know, to the task force, she's like, no, forget it. And they're like, Reddington just called and said, you're in.
Yeah. Liz calls her on the phone when she's,
yeah,
she's cleaning up in the bathroom. I kept waiting when she closed the medicine cabinet and you saw the mirror, like, brave Reddington will be staying. Oh, the stupid shit they do, or Rostova or something.
Right.
So but Park,
yeah, she's like, yeah, whatever you said to Reddington, he wants you on the team. Congratulations.
Yeah.
She's like, because she doesn't want to be on the team.
But she accepted.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird episode.
Yep.
The focus on this was not the Blacklister as much as it was on Park and Francesca and...
Yeah. Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward.
So I think that just brings us to the...
The comedies.
The half-hour comedies.
Schooled.
A Rick-centric episode. Who cares about the Lion King? I mean, the costumes were funny as hell. Like when they went overboard with the giraffe.
Yes. And she ran out of like material for the elephant, so it was just a big hole in the side.
Yeah. But basically, Rick Miller had set every school record when he was going to school there. And now they were being dismantled piece by piece by other people. And he wanted to hold on to at least one, the pole vault.
Yep.
And so he was trying to sabotage the kid who was about to break his record. By what was he doing? Like making him go to class?
Oh, he'd blow the whistle, and then he made him do the the hammer throw.
And then he signed him up for drama and said, "Sorry, you can't do that anymore. You gotta go to drama." But in the end, he learned the lesson that, you know, instead of trying to protect his own records, he should be coaching these kids to break records. He should be making them greater than he ever was,
and
that's his legacy.
Yeah, and they do.
Yep.
And they named the, like, the gymnasium, the R. Miller Athletic Center.
Yeah.
Which, that's something they never take away from him.
Exactly.
So that was cool.
And I thought that it was cool, again, we got a PS at the end with his home movies of the actual guys who did the pole vault.
Yes, I thought that was awesome.
That was really cool.
Yeah. I liked when they do the home movies bits at the end.
Yep.
So The Good Place.
Yes. Jason had some great lines in this one. I love right at the beginning when they were talking about the day that everything was chocolate. And he's like, dude, I had a Reese's peanut butter cup that day. It was all chocolate. It was awesome. What is wrong with you, man?
So much chocolate.
But basically, the first year is ending. So this is going to be the end of the experiment.
Yes.
Which I thought the end of the experiment would come at the end of the season. But I guess they kind of have to, you know, have a few episodes to find their footing and, you know, figure out.
Simone basically figures out the neighborhood's an experiment. She hasn't said anything to anyone until now.
Right. Because she didn't want to pollute the data.
Yeah, her data. So she doesn't even tell Chidi.
I love when they're calling each other things like honey and schmooky. And,
yeah.
And the gossip guy is like, oh my God, I need to sit down right now.
Did
you just call her Ducky? Seriously?
I like when Brent and Chidi are in like the office and Brent's like, I'm a good guy. Chidi, no, you're not. Think about it. Think about it. You're not a good guy at all.
Yep. Yeah. They were like, okay, it was a Hail Mary. So they opened up a hole to hell and Brent fell in. And they wanted to see if the other three would try to help him out of the hole. Yep. And they didn't. Simone took off. The gossip guy took off.
Yeah, Simone and John grabbed the Escalade and took off. We have no idea where they are.
Yep. And Chidi tried to help him and ended up falling in himself.
Yeah. Right as Brent was saying, sorry.
Yeah, right froze. At the very end. Because that was the end of
the experiment. Was over. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yep. I love that Jason came up with two good analogies in a row.
Yeah.
And Tahani's like, what the hell? Two in a row. I'm starting to think this is a demon in a Jason suit. But they were trying to come up with a new way to say that Brent was terrible, and they said that he was a toilet full of broccoli.
Yes.
I wrote that one down. That one was great.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Perfect Harmony.
Good episode.
Oh my God, Dwayne's father.
Dwayne's father, yep.
The deep voice off.
I think it would have been awesome if his sisters would have deep voices as well.
Oh, I know. I was waiting for that. I thought it was so funny, though.
His family disowned him because they're a meat family and Dwayne's a vegetarian.
That's right. Meat raised us. They're like, you're still going through your little rebellious phase of no meat? He's like, well, it's been 20 years, so there's that.
Yeah.
It's funny watching American Horror Story 1984 and seeing Mr. Jingles and then coming over here and seeing the same actor as the head of the, you know, super church, mega church, whatever it is.
So they sing, these choirs sing some songs that you don't normally think a choir would sing, like Titanium.
Yep. Yep. They've definitely got a Pitch Perfect vibe going here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Glee as well. Yep. Yeah, Pitch Perfect, yeah.
Yep. Where they're taking much more modern songs and, you know, giving them a gospel spin, but not even really.
Like, no, they're just singing it gospel-like. Yep. Not with, like, they're not changing the words.
I love that, you know, I called her Becky because she'll always be Boats, Boats, Boats to me.
Boats, Boats, Boats! Yes, when she popped on the screen, my wife goes, oh, look, it's Boats, Boats, Boats!
Exactly. So she opened a salon next door to the diner, and she wanted to be friends, and then it turns out that she has a perfect voice, and she knows all the words to Ave Maria.
Yeah.
And, you know, she gets invited in, but then she's a raging bitch to her name there.
Yeah.
And
Ginny.
So, yeah, Ginny, so... He kicks her out.
God, her name could not be more southern. Kimmy Bell?
Yeah. Yeah. So he kicks her out in the middle of getting his hair dyed.
Yeah.
So she turns it pink. So then everybody in the choir turns their own hair pink in solidarity. Yeah. That part was very funny.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's her real voice. I think that
oh, was no. dubbed over. I don't think so. Yeah.
But.
I do like Kimmy when Bell. She goes, Kimmy Bell, what are you doing here? Well, and then Arthur finishes, oh, you decided to join this choir?
Yeah.
Like stealing your thunder? Yeah, great.
Yeah. And I like it when Ginny's like, look, it's either her or me. And if it's her, then I'll still stay on, but I'll be upset about it. God, when Dwayne's father opened up his mouth.
Just started like, talking,
I got to look him up because I know that he's done the voices in some shows that I watch. Anyway. So, Superstore.
Yeah, so the district manager's back.
District attorney.
I know. The district manager's back. And long and the short of it, she didn't imply she knew anything about the union cards. However, she said, you know, there is some scuttlebutt, you know, about unionizing going on here. And if headquarters finds, if the home office or whatever finds out that you have anything to do with it, that'll ruin your career, your chances for advancement. Because I, oh, what do you mean advancement? Well, I definitely see you as, you know, corporate material. Because yeah. she takes Amy out to lunch. Of course, Amy thinks she's going to be fired. Mm-hmm. So everyone else thinks she's going to be fired. So Glenn just, you know, makes himself the store manager again.
Was he wearing a tie this morning?
Yes. hires Bo. I mean, it was just, yeah.
Yeah, he hired Bo, but he can't really hire Bo. Oh, and we had, Dina was doing the amnesty for shoplifters class. Apparently they teach a class, and if you pass the class, then yes. your shoplifting is forgiven, and they yes. won't tell the cops about it, which no store would ever do. But then it turns out at the end that what it is they charge these people $200 to take the class so that they don't get a criminal record. Right. So it's a racket.
Right, yeah, they spent, yeah, exactly.
Mateo finds out about it, so now he's in on the cut.
So he sends everybody home.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't believe I watched any other shows worth talking about. How about you?
I don't believe that I did either.
I did watch 4 movies.
Good God, man.
Well, I got 2 Red Boxes.
Yeah.
And then the wife and I watched 2 Netflix movies. I came downstairs and she had just started watching Let It Snow this morning. And the premise of the show, you know, I hope I can read you the synopsis because it'll
go. Is it in a different language?
No.
Otherwise, you should be able to read it.
No. Well, sometimes they don't always have it up here. That's why. It's based on the young adult novel of the same name.
Oh, a YA story.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoops.
Okay, well, it's the movie. Basically, the movie tells 3 stories of a bunch of friends. Of course, it all comes together at the end.
Okay,
but you have 3 different stories going along. I think it's brand new on Netflix. I just got dropped November 8th, so it's all been on there 3 days. So I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
But it takes place on Christmas Eve during Christmas break, and my wife says it's not a Christmas movie. It's a winter movie because it's called Let It Snow, and there's snow on the ground. Hi. It takes place on Christmas Eve. They talk about Christmas a ton.
The synopsis says a snowstorm hits a small Midwestern town on Christmas Eve, bringing together a group of high school students. They soon find their friendships and love lies colliding, and Christmas morning, nothing will be the same.
It not a Christmas says, movie, and, though. And. Not a Christmas movie, though. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you would like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I do like a romance sometimes.
Yeah, it's a teen romancer. It's not as good as Love Actually. That movie is just absolutely amazing. I love that movie thoroughly. But it's the synopsis of the 3 different, the overlapping stories of the different romances and everything. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly, actually.
What was the next one that you watched?
This afternoon we watched The Kissing Booth. Did you watch that one?
I don't think so.
Well,
the name sounds
apparently
familiar.
Next year the sequel is coming out.
Oh, God.
Again,
was this on Netflix as well?
This is also a Netflix original film. These are both Netflix original films. Let's see here.
A high school student finds herself face-to-face with her long-term crush when she signs up to run a kissing booth at the spring carnival.
Basically, yeah. It's more than that. It's her and her best friend and her were born on the same day at the
it's
same
time.
It's
based on The Kissing Booth by Beth Reekles.
Yeah. Her and her best friend were born on the same day at the same time. They're basically like brother and sister, completely platonic. And this is not one of those, in the end, they end up being together because, you know, you love the person that's in front of you, you don't see it the whole time business. It's not that at all.
Okay.
But it's just interesting because, you know, she has a crush on his brother.
Okay.
And, yeah, this has been on Netflix for over a year.
Oh, it's Joey King. I know her.
Yeah. And I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Okay.
I liked it.
What's with all the romance? Were you guys having a romance type of thing?
Nah, just...
Okay.
We watched that Let It Snow this morning. It was fun. We laughed. It was a good popcorn movie, if you will, about an hour and a half long. You know,
hence the empty bowls of popcorn.
Hence the empty bowls of popcorn. No, we had those with the kissing booth.
Oh, okay.
Kissing booth, not as good as Let It Snow.
But it was more of a popcorn movie, apparently, because you made popcorn for that one, but not for Let It Snow.
Well, it was, you know, 2 p.m. as opposed to 8 a.m.
Oh, okay. I have a wrong time for popcorn, my friend.
That is true. But my wife did stop to scramble some eggs, and we ate breakfast when we watched Let It Snow.
All right.
Let It Snow has the daughter from Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, yeah.
She's in it.
Abby.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, because she's not doing anything now.
Anyways, so no, I thought it was decent.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually a little longer than it needed to be. Like, the story, they could have cut like 15 minutes out of it, probably.
15 minutes?
Yeah. Well, it was this... Like, when you look like it's going to end and it's coming up to a nice ending, then they kind of build the arc out again for a little bit longer and then just come to the same conclusion ending.
Okay.
So they could have cut a section out and really just kind of shorten up a little bit.
Gotcha. Like intestines.
Yeah. Yep. Just like intestines. Did you watch any movies?
I did. But I'll talk about that afterwards.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I want to hear your other two movies.
Tell me one of your movies.
I only watched one.
Oh. I said you... Okay, fine.
You said, did you watch any movies?
Right, right.
I mean, by responding in the positive, yes, I did, I realized that that response could be construed that I watched multiple movies.
Yeah,
I should have said no. However, I did watch a movie.
Oh, there you go. I watched Hobbs and Shaw. Got that from the old Redbox.
I've heard a lot of good about that movie.
Okay, so I'll say this. Remember a few years ago, we went to go watch... Live and Die Hard, I think it was called.
Live Free, Die Hard.
One of the Die Hard flicks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's go watch this. This is going to be completely stupid and over the top and just ridiculous. And that's what this was. This movie was completely, there was some great humor in it, a lot of fighting and action scenes, a lot of killing.
Yep.
Some over the top fighting scenes, over the top driving scenes, over the top action.
You mean like him leaning out of a helicopter and holding onto a chain that's like, or
no,
off the back of a truck?
Yes.
Like tethering a helicopter to the earth through a chain of vehicles.
Right. But
disbelief suspended.
But I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay, so
I enjoyed it for exactly what it was,
which was a thriller,
absurd, over the top action, like him jumping out of a fucking 100-story building, landing on a guy who's rappelling down it, beating him up, jumping off him, landing on another guy, falling like 30 feet, going through a canopy, landing on the roof of a car, and just going as he got up, you know, because he was fine.
Yep.
Just super over the top, but it was a lot of fun. Ryan Reynolds, surprise, like, cameo in it. There's a guy named Locke that it was Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds.
Awesome.
His humor, his long diatribes, everything. There's like 4 PSs on this film. He's in one of them. And then, what's his name? Little short guy. Comedian.
Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart has a cameo in it.
Kevin Hart and The Rock have this playful back and forth the same way
it's
that Ryan Reynolds
this movie
and Hugh
too.
Jackman
yeah,
have it going.
Yeah. It's in this movie as well. It's hilarious. So he has a cool little cameo. And you can tell his parts are filmed kind of way out of whack because his hair is completely different. Like, but yeah, it was
Either
good.
One of them have hair.
That's the thing. Like in the first part where you see him, he's got all these little... fro top thing going on.
Gotcha.
Fro hawk. Not fro hawk, but instead of a flat top. You know, fro flat top. And then later on when he's talking to them again, he's normal haircut for him.
Oh,
it's kind of weird.
Interesting.
But it was enough that I noticed a difference.
But you really enjoyed it.
I did, actually. I enjoyed it. It was just...
That's what I kept hearing good about it. Nobody was talking about, like, Academy Award picture or anything like that.
No.
But just saying that for over-the-top action, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Good. Yeah, I want to check that one out.
And it had there was comedy. That's what helps as well.
Right.
You know, like, there's this whole bit with Ryan Reynolds talking about someone being stabbed with a brick.
Stabbed with a brick.
Yeah. It was just, it was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Stabbed with a brick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. What did you watch for a movie?
I went to the theater and I watched Dr. Sleep.
Oh, how was it?
I feel like before you can
talk about... That was a big sigh.
Here's the thing. Before you can talk about Dr. Sleep, you have to kind of dig into the backstory of it.
Did you need to watch The Shining or have knowledge of The Shining to watch this?
It really helps.
Yeah.
I have never watched The Shining, but I have enough knowledge of The Shining to understand all of it. And it really helps. So...
I wonder if you're going to go watch The Shining now, you'd be like, oh.
Well, here's the thing. So, The Shining came out in 1980, was directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Yes.
And it is well known that Stephen King abhors the movie.
Yep.
He hates it. Yep. He hates what Kubrick did to his work. He does not believe that it embodied the feel he was going for, the work he was going for, etc. He really, really, really hated it. Enough so that he then, in a coke-fueled rage, directed Maximum Overdrive. Said, I could do better than these people. He was wrong. Because it was Maximum Overdrive was horrible. So, then, a couple of years ago, he wrote a sequel to The Shining, his book The Shining, mm-hmm. called Dr. Sleep.
Right.
So this guy who directed the movie said, well, here's what I want to do. I want to kind of marry the two of them. I want to use your book, but I kind of want to, like, we're going to keep the hotel from the movie version so that we can, because we've all seen the previews, so that we can, like, tie up the story of the movie version, but I want to use the material from the book. And he wrote it all up and gave it to King, and King was like, I approve of this.
Hmm.
So it's to kind of bridge the gap between the two of them. Because in the original, in the book, The Shining,
yeah.
The hotel blew up, burned down,
yeah. gone.
In the movie, no such thing happened.
Right.
Jack died out in the snow in the middle of the
in the maze. Hedge maze. Yeah, he froze to death in the hedge maze, yep.
So knowing all that, and knowing what a sordid history this has, I went into it with, like I said, I've never seen The Shining, but I had knowledge of it. I've mm-hmm. seen all the memes. I know all the stories. I know everything about this movie. We all know Red Rum. We all know Come Play With Us Forever and Ever. You know, here's Johnny, and all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So just knowing that and going into this movie, it was fucking great.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. I was genuinely surprised. Like, I kind of wanted to go back and watch it again.
Oh, wow.
I will say this. Ewan McGregor did a great job. I won't say he did a great job playing grown-up Danny because, you know, who fucking cares? He was an 8-year-old kid. They either got CGI or they got body doubles. I think they got body doubles because in the beginning of this, you see Danny and his mother. Like, after this has happened and now they're living together in Florida.
Mm.
Because as he says later on in the movie, they moved to Florida because they never wanted to see snow again. Fair enough. But they got somebody, I believe they got basically a face double for Shelley Duvall. It was weird. It was kind of weird.
She's 70 now, so.
Yeah, no, this was, like, they either did a horrible job of de-aging or they just got somebody who looked like her. And somebody who looked like the young Danny there. But it was really good. They really focused on the powers this time. So instead of it just being on the psychosis of Jack, this was all about the power and the shining and other people who had this kind of stuff. Because there are other versions of it out there. The main villain is Rebecca Ferguson. She plays Rose the Hat.
Okay.
Which, how does that not sound like a Stephen King villain?
That
and she's called that because she has a very distinct hat that she wears everywhere she goes.
Right.
So they've all come to call her Rose the Hat. And I'm not going to give anything away, but I will say that if you like a good thriller with some magic and some twists and superpowers,
mm-hmm.
check out this movie. It was actually a real pleasure to watch it. And again, I would go back and see this again.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it. Like, sincerely.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm actually surprised because when I watch the trailers, it doesn't move me.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. It was the same thing for me. I got asked to go to this by a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She was like, "Ooh, Dr. Sleep is out." And I went, "Wow, I really don't want to see that movie." But you know what? We haven't hung out in a while, so sure. Yeah, I'll go see that movie. And I honestly, I had written it off before I even went in. And it was great. And apparently she had too, because afterwards she said the same thing. She's like, "Boy, I didn't think I was going to like that, but that was actually great." So, yeah, if you're hesitant and you're thinking, "Oh, I wouldn't like that," you might actually really like it.
So the other movie that I rented from the old Redbox, I didn't have a whole lot of faith in that I was going to care about this very much. But it was more like, "Oh, let's see what they do." And mm-hmm. It's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I really enjoyed the books when I was a kid, and I read them all, and the stories were great and everything. And I was like, how are they going to make this into a movie, right? Evidently, very well.
Okay.
I was genuinely surprised how much I enjoyed the film. Mm-hmm. Truth be told, I don't have a great memory of what the of all the stories that I had read in the book previously.
Okay.
However, I watched a thing, kind of like a little making of, like a short documentary they had on the DVD afterwards that talked about the story selection. And they really did take – they initially went through all the books that Schwartz had written. They got 10 stories that everyone decided were their favorite stories from it.
Okay.
Then they said, how can we make this into a movie? How can we combine these stories into the movie? And they decided that 10 stories was just way too much.
Right.
They want to do a sequel. Maybe they can add them in or do whatever. So then they end up, they whittled it down to 4 stories. So the stories in the movie, the way, and then a main backstory that tied everything together. And if you had never read the books before, ever.
Okay.
And you just went. Okay. I didn't know you hadn't. And you just went to go watch this movie. It's a fun movie.
Okay.
It's a good little horror movie, but it really is. It's a good little.
Are the stories connected?
Yes, everything's connected. Okay. It's not like someone sits down and I don't want to give it away. The movie takes place in 1968, and it's about these friends who they go to a haunted house. I really don't want to give it away, but regardless, there's stories involved. All these friends or even enemies or siblings, whatever, involved in this story together. And it takes place with these kids in this one town. And it's very good.
Okay.
They did a great job. Was it Guillermo del Toro produced it?
He's in he's in Death Stranding.
He's in what?
Death Stranding, that game that I'm playing.
Oh. He apparently is very passionate about these stories. He apparently loved these stories in these books. And Adam, I guess, you know, he didn't direct it, obviously, but still. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed the movie, and I would give it a hard sell to go watch.
Okay.
I mean, like, Kanan hasn't seen it yet, but I'm sure he'll watch it. But, like, when I was his age, if I would have seen this movie, or even a little bit younger, but around his age, if I would have seen this movie, kind of like when I saw Monster Squad, I would probably have the same feelings for it. Older, like I do about Monster Squad, he would about this movie type of thing. Like, that's how I'm trying to relate it. Like,
okay, yep.
I'm not comparing the two movies, but as far as like a PG-13 horror flick that's really good, actually, and tells a decent story, this succeeded.
Nice.
Yeah, I was very surprised. And I'm glad they put it in 1968 because, quite frankly, you know, it's hilarious. I saw a meme today, and it showed like 1998 or 1999 or something like that. And it showed an old, like, Apple computer, and it said, where people go to escape the world. It was the internet. And then 2019, and then it shows someone out, like, the real world while watching the sunset. People go to escape the internet. Yeah. And it's just like, shit, that's true. And one of the reasons why they put this movie in 1968 is because they get all the cell phones and tablets and internet and all that stuff away from the kids to make a base story of a horror stories type of thing. So, right. You know, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Got any news or trailers and stuff?
Yep. I shared all three of these trailers with you.
You know, it's funny. I had watched the Invisible Man trailer and then went to go share it with you. And then all of a sudden, boom, you shared it with me. I was like, all right, there we go.
I had that happen with Meringue quite often.
Yeah.
One or the other of us will go share it. Oh, I just watched this and was going to share it with you. So, yeah, that's an interesting new take on it.
I think Lee Whannell wrote the first Saw movie. He wrote other movies, but, like, that's the first time we saw him. Hey, by the way, 12 hours from now, Disney Plus allegedly launches.
Despite that joke, I still want to be your friend.
Okay. Hey, 12 hours from now, Disney Plus launches, and you'll be home now from work.
Yes, and they just updated the list of devices that they'll be able to do it on. Amazon Fire Sticks have been added because they were feuding for a while there, Amazon and Disney. Now you can watch it on your Amazon stuff and Samsung TVs. So
nice.
I'm set.
I'm still waiting to find out if it's going to be an actual app that you download, or is it the Disney Now app and they're going to transform it, or what the hell's going to go on?
I think it's an actual app.
I'm surprised it hasn't been launched by now, like for people to download, sign in, and get ready.
I'm surprised as well, but maybe they don't want people hacking it.
Tomorrow, 9 a.m., shit's crashing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're gonna be like, Disney Plus is a disaster because everybody tried to sign in at once.
Right, exactly. Which that's not gonna be the case. It's not in a couple of days it'll be worked out. But I, like many others, want to see The Mandalorian really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So as we were saying, trailer for The Invisible Man.
Yeah, Lee Whannell wrote it. It looks great.
Yep. The twist this time is that basically it's an abusive relationship. The guy is abusing the girl, as usual, and then he allegedly kills himself. And the lawyer sits her down and says, you know, he killed himself, he sliced his wrists, he couldn't live without you, and so he's leaving you $5 million in his will. The only thing is, you can't be declared mentally incompetent. And so this guy actually found a way to turn himself invisible, and he is tormenting her to get her to be crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting twist.
Yeah. Like, how vindictive is this guy that he uses this technology he finds to make himself invisible to torture her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also saw a trailer for The Mandela Effect, which is basically based on the phenomena that we have all experienced at some point in our life.
With Bernstein Bears or the Berenstain Bears. Mm-hmm. Berenstain Bears.
Yep. And, Nelson Mandela, you know, there's a bunch of different, the Monopoly guy having a monocle or not having a monocle, just different effects that different people will say, I know growing up, the Monopoly guy had a monocle. And they're convinced of it.
Yeah.
And yet other people will say, he's never had a monocle, blah, blah, blah. Where did I get that idea from? Some people say that it's, you know, mass hysteria. Some people say that it could be an alternate reality. It's called the Mandela Effect because the first most public case of it was Nelson Mandela. There were people who adamantly believed that they remember him dying in prison.
Yeah.
But he didn't. In the reality that we're in right now, he didn't die in prison.
Right.
But these people are like, I swear to God, he died in prison. There were news stories about it. There were people who were grieving. Like, they know that he died in prison. And yet, in the reality that we're in right now, he's alive and well.
Right.
Looks cool.
It's a Blumhouse.
Yep. Yep.
It's
pretty much everything is these days.
Fits yeah. Well. It's oh no, wait. Invisible Man's a Blumhouse.
Oh yeah. 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 And then I sent your trailer this evening. I don't know if you watched it or not.
I had seen it previously. The new Scooby-Doo.
Scoob.
Yeah.
It shows the origin story of all of them.
My one problem with it. Look, I understand Case was dead. He can't voice Shaggy.
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard, doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Why isn't he voicing Shaggy again?
I don't know.
That's my one problem.
I thought it was cool that we've got Will Arnett voicing Shaggy. We've got Amanda Seyfried doing Daphne. We've got Zac Efron doing Fred. You know, we've got all these young actors, well, and Will Arnett. And then you go to look at Scooby's voice. Oh, yeah, it's the same guy who's been doing him.
Frank Welker.
Yeah.
Frank Welker used to do Fred.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I wonder why he's not doing him now.
I don't know. Huh. But, yeah.
So that's cool. I like that. The other news items that I had, we talked about the Disney launch. Oh, this is a very interesting one, and this is kind of...
I shared a teaser with you. The Crisis on the Infinity Earth, teaser.
The 10-second teaser.
Well, okay, I think the teaser's 16 seconds, but, like, the first 10 seconds, like you said, is actual teaser, and, like, the last five or six are just, like, oh, brought to you by Boost Mobile.
Brandon Ralph with that hair.
Oh, we see Black Lightning.
Yep.
We see the monitor staring around, and you see Lex Luthor there as well.
Yep.
We see, like, you know, we see Brandon Routh as Superman Kingdom Come. Yep. So.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yep. Anyways, you were saying now?
So, yeah. So, the Disney Plus Marvel shows, you know, Loki and WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they announced this
week. Don't forget Hawkeye, the last appearance of Jeremy Renner, probably.
Right. So they announced this week that these are not only going to be canon to the movies, but they're going to be required watching because they're going to be things that happen in these shows that lead directly into the movie. So if you don't watch the shows, then you won't be caught up on the movies.
Okay.
Remember how when S.H.I.E.L.D. first came out, we thought that was going to happen?
Right.
And then they did that thing with Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And
yeah.
They kind of crossed over and then they just like threw it out the window. Well, this one, they said, no, these will be required watching. Superstore is getting 5 more episodes this season.
Okay.
So they're doing well.
Nice.
The Equalizer. What do you think of with The Equalizer?
Oh, God, I know. I saw that.
So
I don't think of Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Who knows?
TV series on CBS. I don't know. And Into the Spider-Verse 2 has announced its first Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. It's
the Japanese Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm kind of excited about that because it's the cheesiest story in the entire world. Japanese Spider-Man originally premiered in 1978, running for 41 episodes until early 1979, and was produced by Toei, the company responsible for Japanese animated classics like Sailor Moon, Digimon, and Dragon Ball. The series features a lot of similar Spider-Man iconography and some pretty major plot differences. Rather than Peter Parker or Miles Morales, it features motorcycle racer Takuya Yamashiro, who witnesses the crash of a UFO named the Marveler. Takuya ends up gaining the familiar spider powers from the UFO's last survivor, plus a bracelet that can transform the Marveler into, what else, a giant robot that helps Spider-Man defend Earth from a villain named Professor Monster and his evil army.
I mean, this sounds Japanese.
It does.
Head to toe.
Yeah. So, basically, we're going to get him in Into the Spider-Verse 2.
I want to see Spider-Man 2099 in it.
Other than just the PS.
Other than the PS. Speaking of Spider-Man 2099.
Yes.
And no one's going to care about this, but Miguel O'Hara is coming back into the current Spider-Man comic book universe for a little story arc.
Really?
Yep. Because it's the 2019, so it's 80 years before that, but it's also like the 20th or the 30th anniversary, 20th anniversary of the Spider-Man 2099 series as well.
Okay.
I mean, they just did a rerun a few years ago. They did like 36 issues, 35 issues, something like that. So
That's cool.
I thought so.
So the series that he's in, is it going to be in 2099 or is it going to be?
No, he's in 2019.
Okay.
Because he's trying to stop something that's going to destroy the 2099 universe.
Okay.
Really, the only 2099 character in that whole Marvel line that worked was Spider-Man 2099. Because they came out with that one first.
Yep.
And then they tried to do Hulk 2099, Doom 2099, Punisher 2099, X-Men 2099. None of it worked. Mm-hmm. But the Spider-Man 2099 worked. I really enjoyed that first run of comics. I enjoyed this last run. Still have every issue.
Yeah, it's the same way that the Ultimate Universe never really got off the ground, except for Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, Ultimate
There's something Spider-Man. About Spider-Man that works.
Yeah. Works but, across any kind of...
Except for this Into the Spider-Verse, I don't like the... I have a hard time in the comics when you have Spider-Gwen, Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl, Spider-you know, I just...
You have a problem with female Spider-Man?
No.
Because you just named three of them in a row.
I know I did, but I'm just... It's not just them, but it's just all the spiders. It's like, I don't know, whatever.
So you don't like the various, like, Spider-Man Noir and Spider-Ham and things like that?
I loved how they handled it in the comic book because it came from different universes and it made it make sense. I mean, in the comic, in the movie.
Yep.
But, like, in the comic books, it's too cheesy the way they do it. You know, it's almost like in Flash how they have 100 speedsters.
Right.
You know, we don't have speedsters anywhere else in the universe, but we got them all in Flash type of thing. You know, like, I will say this, though. Have you read, because we're talking about Spider-Man, so I'm just going to bring it up. You don't read comics currently.
No, I do the synopses mostly.
Okay. So J.J. Abrams is writing a Spider-Man story.
Yeah.
It's excellent. I've heard it's really good. I have the first two issues. It's Spider-Man's son, Ben, who is now become a teenager and realized that he has, like, all of a sudden it's like he hit puberty and boom, he's got powers.
Ooh, so does that make him a mutant rather than an altered human?
I believe so, yes. Spider-Man and Mary Jane's dead. Spider-Man lost an arm in the battle that Mary Jane died in.
Oh, wow.
With this evil villain, and he became a photojournalist like that went to war zones and traveled around, but he gave up Spider-Man.
Huh.
So we haven't had a Spider-Man in 10 years or whatever it is. And Ben lives with Mary, with Aunt May. And Aunt May knows.
Aunt May's still alive?
Aunt May's still alive.
Oh, okay.
Aunt May knows all about Spider-Man, who he was, and everything. So it's Ben kind of taking on the mantle of Spider-Man begrudgingly, but he hates Spider-Man, but he loves Spider-Man, but he hates his dad. That's what he loves Spider-Man, but so he hates his dad.
Because his dad was responsible for his mom leaving, yes. And then he left.
He's blamed Spider-Man for his mom's death.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sounds angsty.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, the story's really good, the art's good, but who cares? But the story's really good.
Okay.
Well, to me, like, I don't care if it's the most beautiful art in the world in a comic book. If the story sucks, then who cares?
Right.
But then again, at the same time, if the art's the shit, even the story's great, but if the art's terrible, then that does suck as well.
So when you're reading a comic book, do you find yourself, when you get those double pages where it's just like action, 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 there's no narration, there's no dialogue, do you find yourself just like, flipping over to the next one?
No, I look through because I'm a detail person like you are. So like when we watch a movie, we're not just watching what they're presenting, we're watching the background.
Yep.
Like I go back to Angels and Demons.
Yes.
You're the same thing. You're thinking the same one? Yeah.
Oh, no, I was thinking about Mr. Robot last night, but go ahead.
Okay, but like in Angels and Demons, where you have like Tom Hanks' character kind of going across the screen, and if you look in the background, you see the injured like priest being dragged along, but you don't see it. Like most people wouldn't have noticed it. You know what I mean? So, because you and I always kind of watch the details. Yes, I do look through them, but I've never really looked at a comic book and been like, oh my God, look at the artwork in this. It's amazing. However, covers, I really appreciate good artwork on covers.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, any other news? Because I don't have any news to share.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. So all we have is Mr. Robot, then?
Yes.
Okay, well, if you don't want to hear about last night's episode of Mr. Robot, then we'll talk to you another time.
I love that we respect Mr. Robot so much that it's the only show that we're like, all right, we're putting this at the end because we want to make sure that people don't get spoiled on it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that good, though.
Yeah. And this episode was that good.
Yeah. So, Mr. Robot time.
Yes.
I'm watching the beginning of the episode.
With Vega?
Huh?
With Vega?
Vera,
sorry.
So Vera's got Krista hostage in her home, and he's telling the story of Lil Bitch.
And the bully.
And getting the aluminum baseball bat. And the bully and everything else. And the story is intense.
Yeah.
It's very intense. And the whole time in the background, Carol of the Bells is playing.
Uh-huh.
It was hauntingly cool.
Yes. Yeah, because he's telling it like a Christmas story or like a fairy tale, you know?
Yes.
Because he's talking about how, you know, Little Bitch and the bully always picked on Little Bitch and then Little Bitch for Xmas, you know? Because it's not Christmas.
No, it's Xmas. Yeah.
Now, he got that aluminum baseball bat. What did you do with that aluminum baseball bat?
Beat the bully in the face, knocked all his teeth out in the front of his mouth.
Uh-huh.
Blood was everywhere, even all down the nice ribbon on the little bitch's bat.
Yeah.
I mean, that was hauntingly, amazingly good.
Yeah. That actor who plays Vera does a really good job with delivering lines. Yep. Like, he feels like a creepy guy that you wouldn't want to meet at a party. You know, like you'd go to a friend's party and that would be the guy who's already had a couple of beers and wants to be your friend and puts his arm around you. And you'd be like, I need to get out of this building now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the vibe I get from this actor.
Look, there's three main storylines in this episode. Yes. I'd like to tell them together. Cool. You know, like, so continuing Vera and Lil Bitch. I mean, Vera and Krista. So he tells the haunting story. We come back and basically he's like, you're my aluminum bat.
Mm-hmm.
I want... And he initially you think, oh, he wants to take Elliot down.
Yep.
But then later on, he's like, no, I don't want to take Elliot down. I want Elliot. I want to make Elliot my friend, and I want to own him.
Yes.
I want to ruin him, but I want to own him.
Yeah.
And there's a great scene.
Which ties in to the end of the story of, yeah.
There's a great scene where Krista basically, like, kind of cuts a promo on Vera about how, like, look, maybe you yelling and screaming and jumping at people, you get your way with others, it doesn't work with me, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, even though you tell me that great story of you getting your baseball bat when you're dead. And Vera goes, starts laughing, and he goes, you calling me a little bitch? And it, and then Chris is like, oh, shit. Like,
and then he asks each of the two guys that are there, did you just hear her call me a little bitch?
That's what I heard.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
But then he gets right up in her face, and he goes, that's what's great about you.
Yeah.
You say that. I got you tied up here, and you still call me a little bitch. You call me on my shit.
Yeah.
This is why I'm talking to you.
Even my bitch don't call me a little bitch.
Exactly.
And then Krista's boyfriend shows up.
Yep. Because, of course, they were supposed to have their date, you know, blow off her family.
Yeah. And then, of course, they threatened taking him hostage as well. Cut away, come back later. Oh, he's real mad now. Look at him walk down the street. You didn't answer the door, you know. And then basically Chris is like, look, you want to beat Elliot? This is what you need to do. Go in, go to this file, get that. What's it about? Mr. Robot. And then when she says Mr. Robot, like the music changes and the tension changes. And she's just like, that's how you'll destroy Elliot.
Yeah.
And
well, you forgot the end of the little bitch story.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Basically, he said that, you know, he's like, I didn't tell you the end part. So the bully is in the hospital, and nobody's coming to visit him because he's a bully, except little bitch shows up, and he's got that aluminum bat.
Yeah.
And the bully is just freaking out because he's like, that's it. Little bitch came to finish this job. And little bitch comes in and sets the bat down and takes the bully's hand and is crying. And he's basically like, so from that moment on, he was the only one that showed up. And from that moment on, little bitch owned the bully.
Right. Because he says, I see who you are.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen who you are. And he's like, so that was it. And that's when he said, he was like, and I want to own Elliot.
Yeah.
And so she said,
Mr. Robot.
She said, go to this file, this folder, look up this date. And he's like, what am I going to find there? And she said, Mr. Robot. What's Mr. Robot? That's how you're going to destroy Elliot.
And then the episode ends with Elliot walking down the street and Vera's guys grabbing him.
Well, Krista calls him and she says,
that's right.
Vera grabbed me and he
held me hostage.
And I didn't know what to do. So, you know, I panicked and I told him some stuff and he's like, well, meet up with me here. And this was the first time that we got to hear Christian Slater like Neri.
Yeah.
And he's talking about it and he's like, here we go. We're playing the hero again. Is it going to do us any good? I don't know. And like he's narrating. And then like you said, Vera's guys come out of nowhere and clock Elliot. And just as they do, Christian Slater
cuts off. Yep.
And they throw him in the back of the car. Broad daylight, by the way.
Yep.
Middle of a busy street. Throw him right in the
New York
City,
car, though.
And
I told you, I walked by a dead guy that I brought back to life.
So, yeah, they drive off down the street.
Yeah.
And next week's episode.
The other story is, well, which story you want to tell next? Do you want to tell Dominic and Dom and Darlene?
Yes, or do Dom and Darlene.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that we have to end on Elliot. So basically, Dom has to find out where Elliot is. And she knows that Darlene keeps that, you know, that they have that phone program so that she can see wherever he is at any time. So Dom shows up at Darlene's place and holds her at gunpoint and says, you know, I need to know where your brother is. Darlene's not giving him up. She's like, no, fuck yourself, you know. But she's like, I don't want to say she's sweet on Dom, but she's not treating her like a piece of dog shit. She's being fairly nice to her. And Dom's just like, I'm running out of time here. I need to know where your brother is. Unlock your phone. And then she's texting with the taxidermist. And the taxidermist is like, calls her up and says, look, get her to unlock the phone, find out where Elliot is, and then kill her. And Dom's like, I don't want to kill her. And she's like, no, she's a loose end. Once we've got what we need from her, kill her.
Oh, Are you 100% on this? Because if you're not, I need to find out if I need to make time to kill your mom and family later.
Yeah, and she's always throwing that one back on her. So basically, Dom knocks out Darlene, you know, takes her in the other room to kill her and tells her, you know, she's like, I've got no choice. I either kill you or they kill my family. And Darlene's like, it was, again, the show does a lot with realistic behavior. You know, Darlene begging for her life. Ugh.
Creepy.
Was really creepily realistic. You know, she's like, this is not you. You're not this kind of person. You're not. And Dom's just like, shut up. And then clocks her with a gun, knocks her out. And then sits there thinking about it. And when Darlene, you know, we cut away to some other stories. And when we come back, Darlene's waking up and she's like, my head hurts and she's bleeding. And, you know, Dom's like, you need to unlock this phone. If you don't unlock this phone, my family is going to die. And Darlene basically tells Dom, she's like, do you ever think about that night that we were together? And Dom's like, yeah, you used me. You just used me to get what you wanted. And Darlene's like, that's not really true. I mean, I really enjoyed our time together. And, you know, I think about you. And Dom basically looks down at the phone and she's like, all right, my time's up. That's it. And they go out in the other room and Dom's like, you got the jump on me. You got away before I could do anything, and points the gun at her own chest and has Darlene hold it and says, you need to kill me.
Yeah, she's like, kill me right now, because
this is the only way to protect my family. As long as I'm alive, I'm putting their lives in danger.
Because they're going to lord what's going to happen to me. They're going to keep using me and threaten my family.
Yep. And she's like, I have thought about this for the past several weeks. I can't do it myself. I wish I could. If I could do it myself, I would have done it by now, but I can't. You need to do this. You need to kill me. Please save my family and kill me. And then you hear a bang, and it's the door getting kicked in. And you actually have the taxidermist lady flanked by two other guys.
Because she said she was going to be there at 3:30 with her crew.
Yep.
To get the
phone. Now it's like 3:37.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is not what I expected to find. This isn't going to work for me. So, and she holds a gun on Darlene and she's like, basically, I need to know where your brother is. And she takes the phone from her and Darlene's like, so you need my phone? She's like, yes. She goes, well, it's not going to do you any good because I just wiped it. And the woman looks down at it and says, you know, wiping cash, wiping partition, full wipe. And she just looks at it and goes,
Well, when she puts the gun to her head, she even says like, I don't take great pleasure in this. This isn't personal. This is just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then what she says to Dom is like, this is going to be so hard. I'm not going to kill you, Dom, but this is going to be so hard on
you. This is going to be so painful
for you. Painful for you. This is going to be so painful for you.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for Dom to shoot her.
Yeah, I did too.
Like, I kept waiting for Dom to shoot her, shoot at the other guys. They'd return fire. Darlene and Dom would get shot, but they would live, and the other guys would be dead, and on and on. Like,
she probably figures that even if she kills this one, because the woman already told her several episodes ago, you know, that if I go, there's plenty more to take my place.
The problem is, with this being the final season, and the way they killed Angela at the beginning of the first episode of this season, everyone's fair game.
Yeah, I was expecting Darlene to die this episode.
I thought Dom was going to kill Darlene.
Yep.
And then...
Yep, I legitimately did.
That was going to put over the edge to kill herself.
I was bracing for it.
Yeah. I still think Darlene's probably going to die by the end. I think they're all going to die by the end.
Because Elliot did finally, like, apologize to her with air quotes.
Yeah.
You know, when he was like, hey, I told you that I wish you'd never come back into my life. I shouldn't have said that. But that was about the extent of it.
To be honest, I think Dom, Darlene, Elliot, I think they're all going to die.
Yeah.
They're all going to get killed, and White Rose is going to win.
Yep.
And you know, I legit think the bad guy's going to win in this one.
You know what we haven't seen anything of on in the past couple episodes? Your Bixby is on your...
Oh.
Happens to me sometimes. We haven't seen anything about the other altar. You know, the other...
Yes, alien. Yes. Well,
and I'm wondering if he's going to come out when Vera starts grilling him about Mr. Robot. I wonder if we're going to meet the other one.
That... Yeah. Oh.
That could be interesting.
That could be interesting, because that's what could protect... from getting to Mr. Robot and destroying him and everything.
Yep. So,
Elliot's story. Okay, so Elliot's story is he goes and meets up with Olivia. And
the one that he had the nice, you know, picked her up at the bar, had a nice night with her.
They dubbed her information because she works for Cypress National Bank. But they can't get enough from just her. That's why they did the break into the thing. I mean, that was a great episode, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So he tells her all about the Deus Group. brings her a cup of coffee, tells her about the Deus group, asks for her help. You know, says they did all this horrible stuff. They're using you. They use everybody, this and that. How do you know all this? Well, I hacked you. I hacked your life, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he's being honest. And then she's like, get the fuck out.
He basically tells her, he's like, the only thing that I need from you is to call your boss.
Yeah.
And then I can hack his stuff, but I need you to do this.
And I'll get out of your life and I'll never bother you again. And, you know, and she's basically, you know, get out. And he goes, well, what if you failed your next drug test? She's like, well, I won't. I've been clean for 8 years. Not no more. He implies, which I didn't see him do it, but he implies that he laced her coffee with OxyContin and now she had the drug. She's got the drug in her system.
Yep.
And I didn't consider this, that she brought it up when she said, do you know what you've done to me? I'm an addict. You've put drugs in my system. This isn't going to – she's like, yeah, they'll wear off. Don't worry. No. That's the problem. I'm going to want more. They're not going to wear off. This is going to kill me. You're like, think of that.
Which he should have known because
he's an addict.
He's an addict. And when they shot him up with that heroin and then Narcan'd him, that should have been the first thought on his mind as well.
Yeah.
You know? And so for him to say that now and just be like, no, whatever, that's wrong. Like, he absolutely should have known that. But he's very singular in his focus with this right now.
Very singular in his focus. So she calls him out for being the piece of shit that he is and then tries to make the phone call she wants and leaves a message and is waiting for the person to call back. Ask to use the bathroom.
Which immediately I was like, Elliot, you know what's in the bathroom.
Story, yes.
She told you about the razor blade and said that if she ever got on drugs again, she would kill herself.
Right. He hears a thump in the bathroom, which I guess, you know, don't stand up when you're going to kill yourself.
Right.
Goes in, she's opened up both her wrists, went down the street instead of across, so she did it the right way.
Yeah.
Of course, Elliot stops the bleeding.
Somehow.
Bandages her up.
Yeah.
Gets her, you know, gets her bandaged up and everything, gets the bleeding stopped. She lives. And for whatever reason, I don't know, I still don't know why, he gets her to make the phone call.
Well, she had 3 missed calls on there.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there and just, she's kind of in a daze. I mean, she's lost blood and she's kind of in a daze. And she tells him, you know, she's like, these may be evil people, but you are a monster.
Yeah. And the worst part is you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she makes the call.
Yep.
He gets what he needs. And he says, don't worry. I'll erase all traces of you and your boss. They'll have no idea you were ever involved, et cetera, et cetera.
And she's like, you've destroyed my life.
Yeah. Which he has.
Yep. And Mr. Robot even says that later, too.
Yeah. And then he gets nabbed on the street.
Yep.
It was a good episode.
Yep.
But for me, the most haunting part, see, there's 2 things that are very haunting. 1, Darlene begging for her life.
Yep.
That seemed pretty realistic. Yeah. Not that I've ever seen it, but I felt it.
Yep.
And then Bear's story with the Carol the Bells playing in the background.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Now, I don't know if you saw this on yours, but it said that next week they're doing an all special thing where no commercials.
I did not because I watched it on the USA Network app today on my laptop, well, on the webpage on my laptop.
Right. I purposely tried not to see, like, the previews. I know that I saw Elliot and Vera in the same room together, but it said uninterrupted commercial free.
Yeah. It's the best type of episodes, really.
Oh, it really is, especially with this show. Holy crap.
Figures the next morning after that, I have to be up at the Academy by 7:30, so it means I gotta leave earlier.
Yikes.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what's weird? Because they remember in the first episode, they were like, you don't want to miss this. You want to watch it live because, you know, the spoilers and this and that. I don't follow anyone on my Twitter or on my Facebook that would ruin that for me anymore.
Right.
I really don't follow much.
The only thing for me is I have the Feedly program where it just, like, lists out all the news stories. And so I see the headlines, and those can sometimes be spoilerific for me. But, yeah. No, I'm the same way. Like, nobody's sending me messages like, dude, did you see this?
No, I don't get that either. Because normally it'll be like, the prerequisite for me is like, did you watch it yet?
Right.
And then, okay, dude. So, all right, so that's it. We will talk to you all next week. I'm on Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show.
Later.